Well, good morning and welcome to our assembly. Thank you for being here. We have several visitors this morning. We appreciate your attendance. I've got some special visitors with me this morning, some of my family members and prospective family members, soon-to-be family members. We appreciate their presence here this morning. For a few moments today, I would like for you to consider some passages in the Bible, specifically in the teaching of Jesus, that talk about planning ahead. Planning ahead. We very much in this world focus ourselves on the present, on the here and now, what's going on right now. But even we have the wisdom and understanding that many enterprises require planning in order to be successful. If you want to succeed in your retirement, you have to plan for it. You have to make arrangements to have sufficient funds so that when you retire and stop working, that you'll still be able to provide for yourself. Just a simple thing. We all understand it. A lot of us still don't do a very good job of it. But we know we need to do that. If you're planning to build something, you know that you have to make arrangements, you have to get a loan, you have to hire a contractor, you have to have a design. We understand that. If you're going to have a wedding, you don't just show up the day of and say, oh, what do you want to do? How do you want to just wing it? It would be cheaper, but we don't do things that way. We plan, make elaborate arrangements, planning ahead. If a person isn't planning for success, there won't be any. Let's see, I came up with something. It took me 15 minutes. A person who is failing to plan is planning to fail. That's pretty good. I'm pretty sure it's not original, though. You will fail. You will fail if you don't plan ahead. That's basically it. And it requires two things. First of all, you need to look ahead and anticipate what's going to happen. Some things we know are going to happen. Some things we can only kind of guess at what might happen, possible events. But you have to look ahead and you say, okay, what might happen or what's going to happen? And then the second thing you do is you actually do something to get ready for it. You make arrangements in the here and now. You do things now so that when that thing happens, you will be ready to execute your plan and to succeed. It's a very simple thing. But we live in a world that is so short-sighted and so focused on the present that so many people, they just don't plan and they do fail. There is nothing more crucial to plan for than the coming judgment of God. You are going to die. But when you die and you leave this world, that's not the end of your life. You are going to go and you are going to face God, and you need to be planning on that. And the Bible is full of stories that encourage us to do that very thing. And we're going to look at some of them this morning. But I wanted to begin with this bit of humor here. Have you ever seen that? I thought that was so funny the first time I saw it, but I've seen it like a million times since then. Maybe you haven't seen it, but the idea is, you know, anticipating, you know, you anticipate what's going to come, and then you make allowances for that thing that's going to come. You don't just start doing something and then hope that it's going to work out. You need to foresee, and you need to change what you're doing in order to anticipate it. The first story I want to look at is the story of the farmer in chapter 12. You know, it amazes me when you think about Jesus, about what he was able to do the phenomenal miracles he was able to perform, the amazing teaching that he was able to present, to just be around Jesus and to experience that must have been phenomenal. And so very often when people are doing so well in the moment or doing something spectacular in the moment, they don't even think about the future. And yet so very often what Jesus wanted to talk about was the future. Because he, being God, he knows that future. And for God, the future is as real and present as the here and now. And Jesus, he sees that coming judgment. He sees that moment when people will answer to God. He knows that moment. He's in that moment. He's the God that they will answer to. And everything that he says is preparatory for that moment, that most crucial moment when the fate of your eternal soul is going to be decided. And yet it is decided based on what we do in the here and now. And Jesus knows that. And so he's constantly reminding people that it's all leading to something. There is something coming and you need to be ready for it. This story about the farmer is one of them. He tells a story because there's a guy who comes to Jesus and says, you know, my brother's not sharing an inheritance with me. Can you do something about that? And Jesus says, you need to be thinking about something more than the money that you got coming to you. And he tells a story about the farmer, and you know the story of the farmer who has a surplus of harvest. One year, he just has so much food that's been produced that one year, he doesn't have any place to store it all. And so he says to himself, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. So I got a problem right now. It's a good problem, as we say. I've got too much food. I need to do something. I need to make arrangements. I need to respond to this current crisis. And so he immediately formulates a plan. I need bigger barns. I need bigger storage space. I need materials for bigger barns. I'll tear down the barns. I'll buy more material. I'll build these barns. I'll store my grain because I've got this brilliant plan to provide for the future. I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take it easy. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now here's a man who has some capacity to plan, right? He knows he needs to provide. And it's not going to happen by itself. And so he needs to make provision. He needs to develop a plan, execute the plan. And from the standpoint of the world, this is genius. This is exactly what everybody ought to do, right? You need to have a plan. Get you some insurance. get you a retirement account. Build equity in your home. Get an education so you can provide for yourself. I mean, all of these things, there's nothing wrong with them per se. It's actually being responsible. There's only one problem with this guy and with most people in this world is that it's too short-term in your thinking. Because this life and this world only lasts so long, and then we go on to something else. And that this man wasn't thinking about that. He was only thinking about the next 20, 30, 40 years of his life. And in those 40 years, he had a plan. He was going to execute his plan. And maybe it would have worked. But it didn't work because it was too short-term in thinking. But God said to him, you fool. Is this guy smart? No. He's a fool. In terms of this world, he seems pretty savvy, but in the end, in the final analysis, God's, you're a fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Man prepared. He prepared for himself for this life, for this world, for the next 40 years of his life. He had a plan, but he was a fool because he didn't account for a very real possibility that you might not see those 40 years. You might die right now. You might die tonight. Are you prepared for that? Have you planned for that? Have you taken any of the resources and this wealth that you've produced and said, you know what, maybe what I should do, maybe instead of just planning for the next 40 years, maybe I should plan for eternity. And maybe I should take some of these goods and share them with those who are in need and please my God, who asks me to do that, by the way, and make my life right with him and store treasure in heaven, because that's coming. That life after this life is coming. It's not a maybe. It's not like, you know, I get myself some insurance in case I might die. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to leave this world, and you're going to go to another world. And what that world is like for you and for me depends on planning, anticipation, doing something. Jesus is trying to tell us something. He left that wonderful world, that place, that heaven. He came into this world, and he's trying to tell you, this isn't really all that important right here. I know you think that this is all of your life. It's not. Jesus says in that context, even when your life is filled with abundance, that's not what your life consists of. There's so much more. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Jesus leaving heaven, leaving that realm, and coming here and seeing people so particular about their houses and about their furniture, you know, and as a carpenter, presuming he was exactly that, you know, all of the things that people built and saved and all the things they did, and Jesus is thinking, why do they care about this stuff? Why is this so important to them? You know, the experience that I've had in the last couple of weeks driving up and down the road and looking at those piles of garbage, that just flood ruined stuff, and realizing that that's really what all of this is coming to. All of this stuff that we build up in this life, it is destined for the garbage heap. It absolutely is. And if all you've done is pour your life's energy and your all of your thoughts and all of your planning into this world's stuff, then what you're going to have at the end of life is garbage. It's no coincidence that Jesus uses Gehenna, the burning garbage dump outside of Jerusalem, as illustrative of hell. Because that's what it is that you're working for. If all you're doing is working for this life stuff, that's what you'll have. You'll have the garbage dump. You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Are you planning for that? You got a plan for that? If you're not planning for that, you don't have a plan. You are planning to fail. You are planning to lose everything. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. I don't care if you're the poorest person on this planet. If you never save a single penny, if you have nothing to show for your name, what did Jesus have to show in terms of worldly wealth when he passed away? What did he have? He had some clothes on his back that some soldiers ripped off of him, tore up, and gambled over. You think Jesus cared about that even? We leave this life with nothing from this world. Nothing. But to be rich toward God, even if you don't have a single penny to your name, to be rich toward God, that is everything. That is success beyond your wildest imagination. That's a plan that is going to succeed. It's the only plan that's going to succeed, to be rich toward God. To live your life in the pursuit of pleasing God. And even in taking care of this world's business, going to work, earning some money, taking care of your family, sharing a little bit with people who are in need, all of that's part of God's plan for you. But worshiping God, being a Christian, learning the wonderful eternal truths of God's Word, sharing the gospel to a lost and dying world, that's riches, my friend. That's treasure. That's a plan. How about the manager in Luke chapter 16? Jesus tells another story about a guy who is pilfering from his boss. And the boss finds out about it and decides to fire the guy, which is understandable. And the guy says, "What am I going to do?" The manager said to himself, "What shall I do? I got to come up with a plan. My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. That's not a plan. I can't do that. I got to come up with a plan because I'm out of a job. It's not a maybe that I got a plan for. It's a definitely going to happen kind of thing. I've got to come up with a plan now for when I lose my job." And as you know, the plan that he came up with was to call in all of the creditors that owed his boss money and to forgive some of the debt so that they would be kindly disposed to him after he got booted, got kicked out of his job. That was a plan. It wasn't an honest plan, but Jesus isn't talking about the honesty of it. He's just talking about the savviness of it, the wisdom of it. He says, "I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their house. I know. I'll do this so that I'll have some place to go after I am kicked out of this house, or I have another house to go to. That's a plan." And Jesus, in telling the story, says that the boss, he commended the dishonest manager. He said, "You know what? He's pretty smart because he has acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light." In terms of taking care of this world's stuff, there are such smart people in the world. So savvy wheelers and dealers and planners, and they can execute, and they're not all particularly honest, all of them, but they know a deal when they see one, and they know how to take advantage of opportunities. And they're so shrewd, they're so smart. Now, ultimately, they're fools. Because it doesn't matter how successful you are in this life, by hook or by crook, if you're not right with God, it's all for naught. But at least the principle, the idea, the core concept of this parable is planning for the future. This man did that in terms of this world. Jesus says, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone," and it's going to be gone, it's not a maybe, it's a definite, "when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." You see, it's not so much that God set this whole thing up so that he's looking for smart people, because there's lots of smart people who are going to hell. It's people who value eternal things, who value spiritual things. That's what we're talking about. What do you value? At the core of your being, what is most important to you? And if God and the love of God and the approval of God is what matters to you most, do something about it. Plan for it. Make friends with God. He's given you this life. He's given you an opportunity to use your life. And it doesn't matter how much money you have, whether a little or a lot. It doesn't matter how much time you have, whether a little or a lot. Use what you have, little or a lot. Use it to pursue those spiritual things that you value, that God values. Because when this life is over with, that's all that's going to be left. Spiritual thing. Story of the servant, Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. The story of the servant. This guy is given money by his boss to invest, but he doesn't do it. He buries it in the ground, and when it comes time to answer to his boss, the boss says, "Why didn't you invest the money?" As the meme goes, you had one job to do. You had one job to do. You didn't do it. He says, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I would have collected it with interest? The least you could have done, you knew that this was going to happen. You knew that you were going to stand here and answer to me, and you did nothing. You did nothing." Is that your plan? To stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, say, "You gave me a life, I lived my life. You gave me a life, I did nothing with it. I didn't serve you, I didn't do good, here's your life back." Is that your plan? That's not a plan. And then there's the virgins, Matthew chapter 25. "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil and jars along with their lamps." They anticipated. They thought ahead. They said, "You know what? We might need some more oil. It may take a little longer than we thought. Our lamps may go out. We may need some oil." But the other 5 didn't think that way. "The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom. Here he is. Come out to meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. We've run out of oil.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both of us, for both you and us. Instead, go to those who sell oil, buy some for yourselves.' But while they were going on their way, the bridegroom came. They went into the wedding party and they shut the doors, and that was that." See, it's not a maybe, it's a definite. It's going to happen. The bridegroom's going to come. He is coming. You know he's coming. Are you going to be ready for him when he comes? You don't know when he's coming, but you know he's coming. Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be prepared? You think about all of the planning that God has done from the beginning of the creation of the world to this moment in executing and revealing his plan of salvation, the epitome of which was the sending of his own son to die on the cross cruelly for you, and to lay out this wonderful gospel plan of salvation so that you can be part of his kingdom, his church, to obey the gospel and be saved forever. And that's the plan, and you've done nothing. What excuse are you going to have? Going to stand before the Lord and say, "Oh, I didn't realize it was going to come so quick. I thought maybe you would just give me a pass." Is that your plan? That's not much of a plan. I got to tell you, we get caught up in the moment, but the whole world's like that. The world's plagued by short-term thinking. Everybody's out for them. What's going to happen in the coming week, coming day? I got to take care of this, got to take care of that. And they don't lift up their eyes and see where it's all going. Are you going to be that way? See what's coming. It's coming. And you know it's coming. Am I telling you something you don't know? That you're going to die. And this world that you see around you, it didn't come from nowhere. God made it, and God is going to take it, and he's going to take you, and he's going to do with you what he wills. Are you ready for that? Well, if you're going to be ready for it, you better start now. You start now. Don't you wait. Bridegroom's coming. The audit is coming. This night, your life may be required of you. And what will you do with all that you have prepared for yourself in this world? If you're not ready, if you're not rich toward God, I'm offering you the opportunity. You can get ready starting right now today by obeying the gospel. Declare your faith in Jesus Christ, who died for your sins. Turn away from sin in your life and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will be ready starting right now today. But you've got to do that. Come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.